Welcome to Inspiration and Beauty, the Griffin Choral Arts Podcast. I'm Steve Mulder, Artistic Director, and I will be your host as we talk to GCA personalities past and present, listen to clips from our choral archive, and share together our love for bringing the best choral music to the community. This episode of Inspiration and Beauty is brought to you by our sponsor, First Presbyterian Church of Griffin. At First Presbyterian Church, they envision sharing the good news of Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection with those in Griffin and the surrounding areas, including those who do not regularly attend church and who do not know the power of the Holy Spirit. The church is located in Griffin at 1349 Old Macon Highway. Check out their website, www.fpcgriffin.org.
Our guest today is Michelle Voles. Michelle is the person responsible for contracting the fantastic professional instrumentalists for GCA choral orchestral projects. As a contractor, I have known Michelle since my days at Gordon College, when she put together an orchestra for a collegiate performance of Vivaldi Gloria. When GCA emerged in 2007 and we wanted to do a Masterworks concert in season one, Michelle assembled the first of what would be many professional orchestras for GCA concerts. The intro music to this podcast that you heard just a few seconds ago was from that first GCA collaboration. A fine violinist and member of the Casinetti String Quartet, Michelle frequently performs with GCA, occasionally even assuming the role of concertmaster. Michelle Voles, we welcome you to Inspiration and Beauty.
Thank you so much for having me.
Michelle, we have met so many fine players over the years through your contracting services. Presumably, these folks rely on you quite heavily to fill their schedules with church and community performances. How did you come to be that person? Tell us a little bit about how you came to be in the role of contractor and maybe what some of the ups and downs of that role are.
Sure. Well, I kind of fell into contracting. I didn't even realize that that was an actual job that people did for many years. And so I started off playing, you know, with local choral people, and this was even back in college, and that, or I would do X job or Y job. And somebody said, oh, you know, we love how you play. Would you mind getting some people for this concert? And so I said, sure, no problem. And one of the things that I love is working with my colleagues. And I also love giving people work that want to work. And musicians generally are kind of workhorses. You know, they love to be busy, they love to be playing, and they love to be performing. So that's kind of how I fell into it. My whole thing with hiring people is I've been in Atlanta for at least 30 years. And one of my goals for hiring people is to have people that one are in have a great mindset, that love to work, and are very team oriented. And what I mean by that is, you know, you've got the football captain, i.e. you, Steve, you know, up there conducting, and you know, so, and everybody else, you know, works together to have a really good product, if you want to say that, at the end. And that includes the singers. It includes everybody. So, you know, the singers, the conductor, the musicians, and really get people that are very willing to listen and constantly adjust and just kind of roll with the punches.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've said, almost every podcast I've said, one of the unexpected delights of Griffin Choral Arts is the interactions, the people that we've met, the soloists, the singing soloists and the instrumentalists, and to develop a relationship with these folks. And to, you know, we kind of put on our best when you're in town. We try to impress you, and we want you to think well of what we do in Griffin. And but yeah, you just have a knack for finding really good, not just good musicians, but just good people that we enjoy talking to in the breaks and talking to on the way in and in the parking lot. And
right.
I said, it's kind of an unexpected joy of that. So before there was Michelle Volz, was there another contract? Are there other contractors that you kind of compete with for gigs that are there or?
Yeah, there are like, in any town, there's always somebody that's always been here before you get here. And there have been a couple, three main contractors in town that do like a lot of the Broadway shows and things like that. I do not tend to do those kind of things. I'd rather do chambery kind of things and choral things. And that's a whole nother level that I just don't do. And then, of course, you know, the ASO and the ballet and the opera orchestra all have their contractors, you know, and they're usually in-house musicians that do that. So, but there are other several, you know, people that do what I do, like play and contract at the same time. And it just depends on, you know, who you want to work for. And I mean, I work for other contractors work for me. And so it works out really well. And getting back to one of the things that, with working with, you know, you at Griffin is that everybody that comes down there, you know, because it's a little bit of a drive from Atlanta, and everybody that comes there always comments on how wonderful you are to work with, how easy you are to, you know, just ask, you know, if a certain musician or anything, if we need something to be clear or not clear, or something's not clear, they feel very comfortable approaching you or just speaking up at the at the rehearsals, and they also talk about the choral people, how welcoming everybody is. Everybody loves everybody here. And, you know, every time I come here, it's like family. It's just like family when we come. And it's always such a joy to come there and play. And all the people that I hire always ask about, when are they doing the next concert? Can I come and play? Yeah. And so, you know, that speaks well of, you know, the whole Griffin Choral Guild and everything. And you, you know, because
That's wonderful to hear. And I know that there's sometimes when we're trying to put something together and it might be a weekend that there's other things going on and you have to kind of dig down deeper and find replacements and all that. So we just really appreciate your contracting work and for the way you've brought those people together. I want to play a clip. This clip is from May 2014. This is a concert that was entitled To Thee, My Country. And it's a piece by Ola Yalo, and it's called Dark Night of the Soul. The GCA singers are accompanied by piano and your Casanetti string quartet. I love the energy in this opening section. I don't know, it sounds almost like it could be in a movie soundtrack or a jewelry commercial or something like that.
Right.
So let's listen to a little bit of Dark Night of the Soul. That was a really wonderful concert, and we did several things collaboratively with the quartet that night, and you played some things by yourself. And then later, in July of 2017, you and the string quartet, the Cazzanetti String Quartet, performed an outdoor concert by yourselves in downtown Griffin at the park on 6th Street. And you played everything that night, from classics to classical music to the Beatles. And it was a beautiful summer evening outdoor concert. And I also remember that we shared a meal at 6th Street Pier just before the concert, and were able to get to know each other and to talk a little bit. Tell us more about the Cazzanetti String Quartet and their history and your mission with that group.
Sure. Well, it's interesting. The current quartet members that we have been together for 20 years. So we often fondly call that the second marriage. Anybody that's in used to doing like string quartet stuff will totally understand what that means, because sometimes you tell quartet members and speak to quartet members like you would another spouse. I mean, it's in a good way. You know, and they're always there to listen, because it's a very intimate thing. You know, you're exposing each other to how you play and ideas, and sometimes that's a very, you have to just open yourself up for, you know, any kind of criticism or compliments or whatever, and you have to be very objective about it. So we're very lucky that our members that we have now, we've been together for 20 years. Before that, Julie and Elizabeth grew up together. They're actually from the Atlanta area. And they knew each other and went to school, different schools, and then they kind of both ended up at Indiana University. And they had, this is getting to the whole name thing that we have, they had some friends that they would play chamber music. And their friends' name were Kaz and Eddie. And so they, I know, this is like terrible. I was like, oh, what does Kaz and Eddie mean? I said, well, really nothing. But their two friends that they had great chamber music experiences with were named Kaz and Eddie. So they just kind of threw those names together, and it's Kaz and Eddie. And Julie, I know, it's like crazy, like who comes up with these things? And then I knew Elizabeth when she was working on her master's. So she goes, hey, my violist, who I went to IU with, is coming back in town, and Elizabeth at that time was playing in a quartet with me, and she was on second violin, and we had another violist, and the violist left, and I said, well, just ask your friend. So that's how Julie originally joined our group. And then we had what I call the revolving door of cellists. We kind of went through several cellists. We would say, hey, do you want to play a concert? And we'd get in there and do the concert with him. It was like, maybe not. And, you know, and then it just, we kind of never really settled into somebody that we felt really comfortable with, you know, what I call the mind reading or the ESP players. So, and Julie and I were teaching at a studio kind of around the same time, and they had just hired a cellist who had just come in from Alabama. And I'm teaching a lesson, and this is no joke, I'm teaching a lesson to a little 8-year-old boy, and then I hear this cello, and I'm like, I just whip the door open, and I literally pull a Kramer. I run over to where I'm hearing this cello music, and I said, what are you doing? Who are you, and do you want to be in a quartet? And that's how we adopted George into the quartet.
So, that's a great story.
1 year ago. I know, right? And it's all true. It's crazy, but it's all true.
Yeah. So the players in Cazzanetti, again, just kind of list them for our listeners so we can look for those names around our in our future programs.
Sure. My name's Michelle Mariage-Voles. We have Elizabeth Alvarez. She is the second violinist. Julie Rossiter on viola. And George Butler is the cellist.
Yes. And good folks, and those are familiar names. They play with us all the time.
Yeah, we love coming there. And one of the other things that we have kind of settled into as a quartet, not only doing chamber concerts, which we've gone up to New York and studying and played over in Europe and a few places, is that Elizabeth and Julie are really, really into, well, we're all into education, but one of the things that they have developed that we also do as like one of our side things is that we do educational concerts. And Julie and Elizabeth will go to a school system and talk to the people there and discuss what the curriculum is, and are they studying a particular thing, say Black History Week or a mathematics thing or a nature thing, and they will actually get some of the books that the library recommends, and we will design a kid program that has a script and sometimes props. We will dress up in things and we will actually act out things, and then also teach kids about string instruments, like how they're strung, what the sound effects are, and then we'll tell a whole story, and then we'll perform for almost 1,000 kids in like 3 to 5 shows per day. So that's another thing that we've done as our little side thing that we enjoy doing. And then we also do it for big people too. We have a Casanetti for big people. Well, we'll actually do a lecture and, you know, discuss a composer. We just did one, about 2 months ago, we did a Schubert quartet here in Clarksville and discussed the whole program, and and they taped it and, you know, had that.
Yeah.
So
that's very fantastic. Very, I love the innovation and the creativity and all of that, and the bringing the music to the larger audience and becoming a gateway for chamber music and things like that. That's wonderful.
If you are looking for a biblical community where those called by God are fed in an inspiring environment, consider First Presbyterian Church of Griffin, a place where all accept one another and are accepted, where all love and are loved, where all shepherd and are shepherded, where all encourage and are encouraged, where all forgive and are forgiven, and where all serve and are served. Visit www.fpcgriffin.org to learn more.
I said in the introduction that you sometimes sit as the concertmaster of the orchestra, and I want to play a clip from October 2016, the first concert of our 10th anniversary season. This is the Sanctus movement of the Fauré Requiem. And I'm going to start the clip in the middle, in the Hosanna section. And then in the closing section, you can hear, Michelle, you can hear you playing the solo violin part while the choir is sustaining underneath. The beginning of the movement has a lot of that kind of thing, but I thought I'd play this ending. That was a memorable concert for many reasons. A few episodes ago, we had Matthew Hoke on the podcast, the baritone soloist. And he was very complimentary of the Fauré Orchestra that you put together and led for that evening at the Griffin First United Methodist Church. So let's listen to the Sanctus from the Fauré Requiem. That was the beginning of season 10, and it was our first concert of that 10th anniversary season. And we talked with Matthew that the choir was really, really well prepared. That's a piece that people think they knew before we even started rehearsing it. So we were able to really go in and do some detail drilling on that. But again, the orchestra really supported us well that evening. That was a great performance.
Right. Fauré Requiem, I absolutely love. In fact, I know a lot of violinists, myself included, that you end up going the first time that you hear it, because, you know, the whole opening section, there's only one little violinist in the whole thing, and they do the Sanctus and then a couple of little other movements. So there's not a really, there's not a big violin heavy spot for
right,
that. And
yeah.
When you first hear it, the opening is so striking that every violinist that I know that is a, what we call a doubler, a violin and play viola, they've always like
yeah.
listened to the Forey Requiem and then they're jumping ship, you know, to the viola for, to play it. So that's always that's always a really tough thing for me because I love playing viola as well, but I love that piece in particular. And it's always like, do I want to play viola or do I want to play, you know, the Sanctus movement? So that's always, you know, I just have to like flip a coin and decide with that. So, yeah.
Well, we have shared so many concerts and projects together. Are there any GCA projects, memories that you have that you kind of go back to over and over that you remember fondly?
Right. One of them in particular, I thought the Armed Man concert was really, really memorable. Just from a standpoint of logistics. We were in the Griffin, the Choral Arts Center, or the Griffin Auditorium. And from the sheer thing, we had, you had the dancers, you had the lighting going, then we had the, just the sheer numbers for the orchestra, which I thought everything went really, really well. And it was, I mean, whenever you put a big thing together and you don't, you're doing it from a distance, you know, you have to have people that are really willing to be really team players and be flexible and not get so, you know what I mean, tied up in the minutia of everything. And I thought that that went really, really well. And I thought it was really a nice multimedia event. And I don't really see many groups doing that kind of thing, you know, where you've got like light show and then you've got the dancers and then you've got the actual music. So for me, that was a really, that was a real highlight. I don't think I've ever actually done any other choral concert where that's happened, like ever.
Yeah, that was a really ambitious undertaking. And I remember having the kind of vision in my head. I love the music, but it was a little repetitive and I didn't know if it could stand just as a, but as I listened to it, I just saw images in my head. I saw soldiers marching and I saw, you know, all this, it was like the movie in my brain. And when I called Mitch Flanders with the Griffin Ballet Theater and sent him the music, he had kind of the same epiphany of ideas going through his head. And, and then to kind of come in, it's, but just so risky. You've got all that going on at one time and any one piece could fall and throw everything else out of balance. And for me, you know, I'm worried about the singers, you know, they're going to be like raising their hands at the dress rehearsal saying, I can't see my music, you know, and our, get more light on this, you know, all those kinds of things. But, but I think worth the risk and saying, you know, it's not going to be perfect maybe, but it's worth trying. And we're still, people still talk about that. Talk about that collaboration and the orchestra there too. We were on the floor. If I remember, I was crawling over rows of chairs and kind of standing on shoe boxes or whatever. And you were all in one kind of long, thin row.
Spread out. What I call the
But yet it just
line.
Came off so perfectly.
Line. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But that's, I mean, that's, I've been playing for, almost 45 years, and that's really the only thing that I've ever done that kind of, that's the closest thing to, like, actually doing, like, an opera, like, setting a mini opera type thing, but in a concert version, you know what I mean, with that, and I just thought it went really well. In fact, we loved it so much that we did a Shostakovich string quartet, and we kind of stole your idea. We did it in a college, and we took pictures from the era and actually put them in the back with lighting. It wasn't quite
same.
We didn't have dancers, but we actually kind of stole your idea. So,
well, that's good. That's great. Well, that's wonderful. We need to do a whole episode on the Armed Man at some point and just talk about that some more. But I want to play one final clip before we go. Our operatic gala was a great opportunity to feature several of our GCA singers who also love doing solos and of course the full choir doing the opera choruses, but it also had many places that featured the orchestra. At one point we gave the singers a break and had, because the music was really high and really loud and demanding, mm-hmm. And we just let the orchestra kind of do one thing by themselves, and they did that very well-known meditation from Thais by Massenet. Someday I'm going to play that recording too. The excerpt I want to play today from that concert is the closer, the March of the Toreadors. And I remember so many great themes, musical themes in that concert. But I remember leaving the Griffin Auditorium with this march kind of booming in my inner ear.
Right.
So let's listen to a little bit of this famous theme from the end of the operatic gala. Just something about that theme that's got so much confidence, and I love, you know, John Lawless on those timpani.
Right.
You know, it's just, you just feel so, it's such a great feeling, such a high. Michelle, you delight our audiences and impress us every time you share our stage, and we thank you for joining us today. You have filled us with inspiration and beauty, and we look forward to talking to you again and working with you again very soon.
Well, my pleasure. And I again, thank you so much for, one, having me for the interview, but two, having us come play in Griffin, because it's our pleasure every time we come.
We express appreciation once again to our donors and advertisers, and especially to today's podcast sponsor, First Presbyterian Church of Griffin. At First Presbyterian Church, we envision helping all who come, youth through adult, to discover their divine gifts so that they may serve Jesus' kingdom as ministers either within the church or in the community. Visit www.fpcgriffin.org for more information. Thank you for listening to Inspiration and Beauty, the Griffin Choral Arts Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please recommend us to your friends. Contact us if you would like to be a podcast sponsor. Join us next time as we talk to another GCA personality and listen to more recordings from the archive. Griffin Choral Arts, using inspiration and beauty to create community.